Good Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to the VolQuest.com Blue Water Climate Control Podcast. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday with Rob Lewis and Austin Price. I'm Brent Hubbs. Plenty to get to, plenty to talk about in this podcast. But first, let me remind you about our good friends at Blue Water Climate Control. Remember, they're the guys you need to call when you want a repair done the right way, the first time, and the right repair. Blue Water Climate Control is going to take care of you. Whatever the repair need you have for your AC unit, if you need just regular maintenance, if you need a major overhaul, if you need a brand new unit, they can take care of it all for you at Blue Water Climate Control. Give them a call at 865-299-2290 or check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com where you can book an appointment and get everything set up that you need to. All right, guys, plenty to get to. A lot of recruiting to talk about. Certainly some other things going on in the world of college football that's interesting, that's going to make for a wild few months for sure. But let's start first with the Tennessee baseball team. I mentioned this, Rob, and Austin both. I think I wrote this in the War Room on Friday. Tennessee's going to sleep a lot easier once LSU hires a coach. I'm not saying Tony Vitello is leaving, but with that job out there, there's got to be some uneasiness, you know, with Tennessee. Tennessee is making a serious commitment to facilities upgrades, financial commitment there. They put a nice package in front of Tony Vitello. But, Rob, the lure of the LSU job is something that can get some coaches' attentions out there. This is a very odd search that LSU has going on right now.
Yeah, and it's kind of – I mean, to be such a plum job, it appears – you know, if what's out there can be believed, it appears they're having a tough time nailing down their guy. I mean, whether it's true or not, I mean, it's out there. They were turned down by, you know, the Florida's head coach, the former – you know, a guy from LSU turned down by Ole Miss's head coach at LSU who played at LSU. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's a much different situation than the Tennessee football job, but they've got a lot of guys' raises and extensions in the last few weeks, which makes me wonder, you know, why from the outside looking in, it looks like just a sweetheart of a job, but you're looking at a search that's, you know, getting close to a month right now. So is it that great of a job? Is there too much pressure to, you know, to win there at a place that's won, you know, 5 World Series titles since the 90s? I don't know. But I think for Tony Vitello, I think if he is LSU's choice, I think he will make more money there if the numbers that have surfaced can be believed that they've thrown at people. But I think you got to judge that against your legacy. I mean, do you want to be known as a guy who built something yourself, or you want to be a guy who carried on tradition? And I don't know Tony well enough to guess at how he'll weigh those factors.
Well, I don't think
I know Tony's really been big on loyalty. You know, I mean, that's part of his heritage. He spoke at length about that during his tenure here, Brent. So for me, you know, I think that you know, is part of the decision. You know, ultimately, it's not all of the decision. Just because, you know, Tennessee gave him a shot doesn't mean he's going to just go, okay, I'll take the hometown discount. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, ultimately what this is coming down to is the fact that, you know, as Rob said, LSU seems to be, I don't know if striking out or just coming up empty, or maybe not great fits in certain regards when they've looked into certain coaches. I'm knocking on wood on this one because I know Vol fans are going to say, don't say that. But, like, doesn't it feel a little bit like when, you know, USC was trying to replace Pete Carroll and Lane was, like, option 24? I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying that Tony Vitello is even the guy. I mean, the thing is, like, none of the LSU people are really out there, you know, pushing Vitello's name out there a whole lot.
No, they're not. I mean, I don't think anybody, and I think Ben mentioned this in the chat, I don't think anybody has a handle on the LSU search in terms of where Scott Woodward, the AD, is trying to go or what's going to happen there. And, you know, maybe he has interest and really talks to Tony Vitello after the season's over. Maybe he doesn't. You know, I think to me it feels like LSU's got some guys they want to talk to who aren't going to do any talking until after their season is over. Whether that's the coach in Arizona, whether that's a Tony Vitello, whether that's the coach in Virginia, whose name is floated around out there, that type of thing. I mean, anybody who's still playing is not going to be doing any interviews right now. Here's the one thing I wonder about LSU before we dive back into Tennessee stuff with this job, Rob, is with everything that's been going on at LSU, with the basketball stuff, everything that's been going on in the athletic department, with the Title IX stuff that has surfaced out there, some of the issues that they have had that have been pretty high profile in the news, does that, you know, wonder if that makes it any less attractive? It didn't on the women's basketball side of things, obviously, for Kim Mulkey at $2 million a year. But you wonder, does that in any way make the LSU job less attractive to somebody? I don't have any idea the answer to that. They've been in the news a lot, though, for their entire athletic department for things you don't want to be in the news for.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered that angle, however, but I mean, I guess it's something to think about. But I would sort of think that for, you know, not really a revenue producing sport like baseball, I think you might be insulated from some of that, much like I think the women's basketball side of things probably is insulated from that too, especially when you're talking about the Title IX stuff. I mean, if anything, I think Kyron Mulkey was a big time PR move by them to, you know, invest in women's athletics and, you know, kind of thinking about the optics a little bit to make that kind of a splash hire.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
And I think part of this brand is just the fact that, like, it's kind of, you know, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong for Tennessee fans. Sure. And so, like, they're just waiting on the other shoe to drop. I mean, I think that's where the nervousness comes in more than anything else, you know, whether it be the media and or the fans. They've just seen, you know, it go terribly against Tennessee for the last decade plus. And so everybody just waits on bad to happen.
Yes. And again, this is an odd search that's a month old now. I mean, you would think that at some point earlier in the year, they probably knew that they were going to be in a coaching search and they didn't have anything in place to go really fast. It doesn't feel like so. And it certainly doesn't feel like they've got their guy waiting on his season to end at this point in time. It feels like it's very much a search, and Tony Vitello might be involved in that search ultimately. Ultimately, he might not be heavily involved in that search. We'll see where the LSU administration wants to go. Again, I want to reiterate, Tennessee, I think, as I mentioned this in the chat, has talked about numbers in the $1.6 million range for Tony Vitello, with a financial commitment to facilities that I think is at a minimum of $25 million. And we'll see what that looks like from there. I know there's a lot more discussion to take place about the facilities in terms of what everybody wants, from size of the stadium to what the student athlete needs, what a coach thinks the student athlete needs for recruiting and development and all of those types of things. So nothing finalized on exactly the facilities front, other than there's a clear financial commitment being made to improve the facilities at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. So we'll keep a close tab on that. Obviously, the baseball team is in action this afternoon against Texas, trying to stay alive in the College World Series, and a World Series that's not gone to script at all for anybody at this point in time. The favorites have struggled. Obviously, Vanderbilt's 1-1. They could have lost their opener. They won in extra innings, and then they got shut out by NC State. Nobody saw Texas losing. Tennessee gets handled by Virginia in the opening round game. So that bracket, none of the brackets have gone to script to this point. So we'll see how Tennessee rebounds in a must-win game for both Tennessee and Texas in an elimination game coming up later this afternoon. All right, let's talk a little football recruiting here, Austin. Tennessee had 7 official visitors in, a big unofficial visitor in over the weekend, Walter Nolan back in town on Monday. On campus, hanging out with coaches for a bit again, as it again appears he's going to end up in East Tennessee for his senior year of football somewhere as they're going to make the move here. Let's talk about the weekend that was for Tennessee. No public commitments. Where do you think Tennessee helped themselves the most? And kind of where do you think the landscape is coming out of those 7 official visitors?
Well, I think Masai Reddick, loved his time here. Tennessee's in great shape with him. I think he'll do something probably sometime early August. You know, I think Tennessee did themselves a really good solid with a guy like Addison Nichols, you know, who's long been thought to be leaning towards Tennessee. You know, but I think this official visit was a big deal for him. You know, I mean, you look at who Tennessee's going to beat out for him, and it's, you know, Southern Cal, it's Ohio State, it's Georgia, and it's Florida. I mean, like, you know, you win that recruitment, that's a big deal for Tennessee's football program, in my opinion. You know, I mean, you think about, like, where they could be going you know, let's say the month of September, let's say some of these kids do it and commit in August. You know, if they were to land Cam Miller, Isaiah Horton, and Addison Nichols, how much different does their recruiting class feel, Brent? I think it feels drastically different. It's 3 250 kids. You know, they'd have some momentum, some traction there with certain players. So, you know, I mean, I think the Addison Nichols, and then the biggest, you know, the biggest recruit in the weekend is you know, Caron Prunty. I mean, because he literally will show up on your campus if he picks Tennessee, you know, coming up the first week of July, and will be playing for you this fall. There's no bigger recruit than the kid that can help you right away. And, you know, I think Tennessee, you know, did well this weekend. There's some positive vibes coming from campus, but at the same time, Prunty is very reserved and very kind of guarded. So I'm not sure he ever said, hey, I'm for sure coming. I just think that, you know, the vibe he gave off was he's having a good time, and Tennessee did themselves a lot of favors.
All right. So I know this is going to come as a stunner to you guys, but I'm a little bit pessimistic on things. And I know that's a surprise to both of you all that that's the case. Austin, am I wrong in saying that it's an upset if Brubaker ends up at Tennessee? I've always felt that way. Not that the visit went bad, but after the visit, does it still feel that way to you?
Well, he's so kind of, I don't want to say coached, but I mean, he says nothing that gives you any inkling of any feeling. You know, he had a good time, but he's going to take all the visits before he sits down and works towards a decision with his family. And, you know, it'd be unfair to kind of give a real, real hard take on anything until he's seen everything and can weigh all the options. You know, honestly, Brent, Penn State has been the long, you know, thought process there amongst everybody because his dad played there and they live up there. But with this kid, it wouldn't surprise me if he picked anybody. He just seems like one that could totally pick anybody out of left field. Could pick Tennessee, could pick South Carolina, could pick Vandy. I do not think he'll pick Stanford. So, you know, it just feels like this one could come out of left field if it's not Penn State.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it is out of left field for me if it's not Penn State because, as you mentioned, Penn State appears to be you know, should be the odds-on favorite with the ties that they have and his dad, you know, being a player there and the fact that they live in Pennsylvania. Rob, that's just not a player. That's just not a player Penn State misses out on state very often.
And it's not analogous to when Cade was coming out. You've not just had a coaching change. Your program's not, you know, in disarray coming off an 0-8 season in the SEC. I mean, yeah, Penn State wasn't great last year, but they also have been – you know, winning 9 and 10 games and playing in big bowls a pretty steady clip for the last, you know, 5 years.
Yep, they certainly have.
I told you this before the visit. If Tennessee goes 50% on Nichols and Brubaker, that's a win.
Yep, I agree.
In my book. You know, if you add 100%. If you add Reddick, and then to me, like the real quote, like what can they get done out of Mo Clipper this weekend? This staff loves Mo Clipper. You know, can they do a good enough job to be a real player for him when it comes to decision time. If they can, then, you know, to me, that's setting up to be a really solid offensive line class, you know. And I get, like, some people on our board don't understand Reddick. I saw Reddick in person on Saturday when I was over there getting Caden Curry. He's a good-looking kid. And I need to change his profile. I got to figure out what he, you know, measured and all that stuff at. He's way bigger than 6'3". And is a really good-looking kid. Now, can he play? I don't know about that. But as far as just pure looks, very much looks the part.
All right. So you mentioned Caden Curry. Let's talk a little Caden Curry right quick with that one. Big for Tennessee to get him in town. You had a chance to visit with him. Where does that one feel like, Austin? And I know that one's got a way. That one's probably got a ways to go here. But what does that one feel like?
It feels like it's got a ways to go. I mean, he's not taking any official visits until, you know, the fall. And I thought that was really interesting because everybody's been in a rush to take visits and commit in the month of June and reserve a spot. And he's going to do the exact opposite. He's going to take all 5 officials for game days in the fall. I think Tennessee ends up getting an official visit out of this. I think, you know, now whether they land him or not, I don't know. But I think they did a nice job with him. I think, you know, Taven will get them an official visit. And at that point, Tennessee's coaching staff, the defensive staff, Eckler, Banks, Garner, they'll have to do the rest. But I think Taven Jackson, his relationship with Caden Curry, gets Tennessee an official visit. You know, maybe I'll be wrong, but I just kind of the feel I had having talked to both those kids over the weekend. And, you know, he's another good-looking kid. Got a, you know, got a high motor, quick twitch, and got some swagger to him. I'll say this. The one thing that I think Tennessee's done a good job of in the month of June is getting kids here unofficially. So you look at Caden Curry, Walter Nolan, even like some kids, particularly this week with Jarko Perkins set to be in town, with, you know, them kind of swinging back around to Miles Pollard. I mean, I think Pollard's going to end up here? No, I think he's probably going to end up with the Big Ten. But I mean, like, just getting kids here to see it, you know, I think goes a long way. Would you love to have more kids camp? Sure. But Brent, it's just the way that recruiting's going now. Kids aren't going to camp anymore if you're the current class. That's just not something they're going to do. They might do a private workout for a staff, or they might camp if they're trying to earn a particular offer. Outside of that, they're just not going to camp.
Yeah, Rob, if I were advising a kid, I would probably advise him against camping.
Yeah, if he's going to be a senior
with offers already. I mean, if he's got offers from the schools he wants, I mean, hey, man, put your slides on and go on the tour and get the pictures, right? I mean, what's the advantage for you?
There is none. I mean, I think AP, you know, AP's down at this point quite a bit, and I completely agree with him. I mean, if you're a guy sitting on 8 or 10 offers and heading into your senior year, you can't do anything but hurt yourself. Say you have a bad day. Say you, you know, have slipped coming out of the gate and you're 40 time, and you're normally a 4.65 guy and you run a 4.75. You know, just there's no advantage there unless, as AP said, you're going to a place that you haven't been offered from. And I tell you what, man, that's going to put a lot of pressure on coaches when they evaluate senior tape for a lot of guys who have carried offers over from their junior year. I think senior tape is going to be more important than ever in how coaches use it.
Well, particularly in a year where you haven't been able to go out and see anybody in person. You know, some of these guys didn't come camp here, and you know, some of them haven't played in a year, and they're going into their senior year. That's going to be really critical and going to be really fascinating to see, you know, kind of how all that shakes out from a national scene. Austin, let me ask you, Walter Nolan's been on Tennessee's campus twice in the month of June, two unofficial visits. Making too big of it. I mean, he's going to go see Alabama. He's going to go see Georgia. He's not taking that official visit to LSU. What do you make of kind of the mid-month shuffle and kind of plans and where he's going? Is it still Florida as kind of the lead dog and everybody's chasing? Or do you think he just is unsure right now and is circling back to see some places for a second time like Tennessee and Georgia?
I know Florida feels confident. I think this thing, again, much like, you know, the other kid we talked about a minute ago, Brubaker, this one could go a lot of different directions over the next month, and I think it will. I mean, Michigan feels confident coming off the official visit this past weekend. They feel like that they have a chance to swing him. They feel like they have a chance to, you know, to land DeArco Perkins. They feel like they, you know, Cody Jones can help them land Walter Nolan. You know, the fact that their dads grew up around each other and so on and so forth. So, you know, we'll see. I do think that, you know, you're not making too much of it for the fact that Tennessee's back in it. You know, I do think that, you know, if he plays his senior year up here, and it certainly looks like he's going to, that helps Tennessee's chances because he's going to be around, the program more and more. But, you know, to me, when's he do it? You know, and even when he does it, this thing ain't going to end until he signs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're in a situation where he's taking a bunch of official visits. How many trips is he going to take on Saturdays in the fall, or is he just going to come across town and see Tennessee if he's indeed, you know, in Knoxville for this fall? And it certainly, as you mentioned, feels like it's going to. All right, I know we'll have a bunch of names later. Give me a ballpark of what you're anticipating, Austin, for this weekend. Is this a Is this a 7-visit weekend? Is this a 20-visit weekend? Or is it somewhere in between?
Well, it's going to be somewhere in between. It's going to be more than 7. I think by the all time's all said and done, you're looking at 13 or 14.
Highlights for you, could it grow? Clipper?
Well, Mo Clipper, Quintel Jones is a kid that Tennessee's been in great shape with, you know, down there in Rodney's, you know, part of Georgia that he's had so much success in. We'll try to close that one out this weekend, Hubs, and we'll see if they can. Obviously Cam Miller and Isaiah Horton, I think, are set to be here officially this weekend and have a chance to really take a huge step towards landing both those kids. Caden Pope will be in town. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, possibilities as far as really putting yourself in position. I think it'll feel like – I don't think anybody commits coming out this weekend. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Quintel Jones might. But even then, I think he's likely to go back home and talk it over and do something. I think, you know, what you'll see is you know, the next 2-3 weeks, you know, the impact of this weekend could potentially be felt. Somebody asked in the chat, over or under 3 – I think you're looking at least a push before August 1. I think Tennessee gets at least 3 commits before then.
AP, are all those guys official this weekend? Did you just
all those guys are official. There's actually a few more on there that are slated to be here. I just named the ones that I think are most realistic that Tennessee's got the best shot at.
We're over 20 now, right, for official visits for the month? Counting this weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If they have 14, they had 7 last week, and that puts you at 21. They had 2 the first week, and that's 23. And then what, they have 6 the week before that, so it's almost 30.
Yeah.
You think there's
but all these visits though count towards last year's recruiting cycle. It'll reset come July 1. It just, you know, obviously kids can't take 2 visits. Once you've taken one, you're done. But Tennessee could use as many as they wanted to. And I think that was, you know, the big thing we didn't realize until Brent figured that out was like Ohio State's going to bring in 50-something visitors. Okay, it doesn't matter because they reset July 1st.
Well, but it matters because you can't bring that kid back in the fall.
Right.
Individual, right?
Yeah, right, correct. Yeah.
You can't bring those guys back for a second visit, but you're not going to be low on numbers there.
Okay.
And I think that's why schools have been so free with their numbers. This month. Now, obviously, you're taking a risk. I mean, if you're sitting here and you get to the end of the month and you brought in 30 visitors and you got 3 commitments out of 30 visitors, that's not enough efficiency. You know, I mean, maybe you get some of those later. But if you don't feel great about a bunch of kids after you visited 30, then it's going to be a challenge, a little bit of a challenge to put your class together. So, you know,
my question is how many. How many commit? What's Tennessee's percentage of visitors to commits when the high school football or when Tennessee kicks off their season September 2nd? Like, how many of these kids that you brought in have you landed by then? Because, I mean, like, you know, like look at Masai Reddick. I mean, he's going to do something in August. Well, I think we all know what he's going to do. He's going to pick Tennessee. So, like, you realistically landed that one, but right now you haven't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think your point is, and your calendar is an interesting and probably the date you ought to circle to look at is the Thursday Tennessee kicks off. How many of the visitors did they bring in have committed either to Tennessee or they've committed somewhere else out of the group that you brought in? Are you still in the hunt for some of those guys and it's a possibility? Are you out of the game with them because, you used your visit and they've committed somewhere else and you can't get them back on campus? I think that's the interesting number to look at when you get to the Bowling Green game.
Yeah, if I'm a coach, that's my concern. I mean, I think that's the way that you do get Cam Miller committed. I mean, maybe not this weekend, but before the start of football season. It's tough to get back up from Memphis for a Saturday game, you know, when you play high school football on Friday night. Well,
especially when there's not a direct flight, which is a travesty in a lot of ways.
And, you know, just as an example, you know, say he does start the season as a commitment, but can't get back up here, decides to take 2 or 3 other official visits and, you know, starts looking around. To me, it's just I get why Tennessee's doing it. I feel like the coaches have to do it because they need to meet kids, they need to get in front of them. But I think it's, I just think it's really a really tough decision if I'm a coach on how to play that.
Well, I think you have to. I don't think you can play the waiting game because so many of these kids are wanting to pull the trigger. And if you play the waiting game, you may never see a kid. You know, it's one of those. It's a double-edged sword. Tennessee needs to show success on the field to help recruiting, but they also, you know, don't have time on their side to be able to do that because kids are wanting to pull the trigger right now. I mean, Caden Curry is the exception. Like, the norm is all these kids that are trying to book their reservations. I mean, if Tennessee could get more kids to be like Caden Curry, then they'd be golden.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody with a new in a new coaching staff situation would be the way. I can't imagine coaches really like the June visits and the springtime visits. Now, if you're established, you know, somewhere maybe that helps you, but I still just think that it's hard to show your atmosphere. It's hard to show what you've got going on. It's hard to put on a good show, you know, with those springtime visits and the summertime official visits. Now, those numbers will be a lot less next year, we know, because teams are not going to carry this many visits into the month of June. But June visits are an interesting decision, you know, that you have to make as a coach, you know, and can you, you know, like, for example, can you get through, you know, can you get through having Walter Nolan on your campus a couple of times and he's not made a commitment and then you can get him an official visit in the fall? That's a huge win. I mean, that's a huge win. But if he says, hey, I want to take an official visit the last weekend, are you going to tell him, no, you can't take a visit the last weekend of June? You know, because you're afraid you might make a decision in August and you didn't get a chance to do the academics and do all the things that you want to do to sell the parents on things, you know, with an official visit. That's the challenges that coaches are dealing with and why people are not enamored with spring visits, you know, because it's a hard decision to make because it's a double-edged sword, as both you guys mentioned. All right. Tennessee on the current squad is working out. Of course, we had the news on Caden Salter on Monday. We'll see what ultimately happens to that. That young man has obviously put himself in a very precarious spot with the university, being on probation at this point. How that all plays out, you know, we will see. But he has done himself no favors since he has arrived on campus with his actions. So I don't know. I mean, at this point, you can't sit there and look at that and see his name on a roster and say he's a factor at all in the quarterback competition. I don't think he was going to be anyway as a freshman, but I don't even know that he'll get to the field to get to practice. Even if he remains a part of the program, he might be suspended from school for a semester or a year. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, he's made a horrible, you know, just horrible decision since he's been here.
Hubbard, to me, I don't mean to minimize any of this, but, you know, if he's a middle linebacker or a cornerback, I don't think it's a big deal, especially the misdemeanor weed stuff. I mean, not something that's legal in a growing portion of our country. But to have a guy at the quarterback position making those kind of decisions, I mean, to me, that does not say anything positive about his future here.
No, and I mean, you know, he's had two situations, and the second one came 17 days after being officially reinstated to the team. So just not good decision making at all off the field, and we'll see what happens there. Elsewhere on the team, Austin, it feels like the vibes, you know, is good right now, and things are going well. Everybody wants to know who looks good, who does this, you know. We'll see, right? I mean, I know I'm pessimistic, but it's hard to say this guy is suddenly, I mean, the kid who transferred in from Kansas, right? I mean, one of the best looking kids walking around, right, AP?
Oh, looks like $1 million.
I mean,
long arms, just stacked. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, does that mean he can play? I don't know. I've not seen him, but right. He looks pretty. He looks really pretty. You know, I think two guys that are set up to really blossom this fall are the Jimmies, Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway. I think they kind of got a new mindset. I think they really like this new staff. I think they like Cody Burns, and I think they love the new offense. Now, that receiver room, you know, they keep bringing in bodies. You know, you know, Javonte Payton, Anderson Kobe obviously had a really good spring. Now they didn't bring him in. He was actually the kind of the last gift of the previous staff. They brought him in the 11th hour. You know, but it, to me, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what a lot of these guys do. Like, you know, Caleb Tremblay looks like a guy that can play, but I mean, like, he doesn't look near as good as DJ Terry.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, just quick point. The last gift of this last staff was a never-ending NCAA investigation. Just to clarify,
it is never ending at this point.
As Rob finally moved on from Butch, like he was always the barbs against Butch. Now it's, you know, the little jabs at the last staff now.
Well,
no, I'm not moved on from Butch. There's a time and a place.
Certainly, the time and a place for Tennessee is to try to get this investigation done, which is seemingly not going to end anytime soon. It feels like, even though you keep hearing that it's close, but who knows?
As somebody said to me, Hubs, like if they had enough to fire him with cause back in January, like what are they still investigating now? Like what is this? It does seem like a bit crazy.
Well, I mean, maybe they just feel like that, you know, because the NCAA. I mean, if you get the NCAA in on all the interviews and somebody drops something in an interview that's a new bit of a nugget, I mean, how could you sit there and just ignore it at this point? You know, when the NCAA is listening, you got to go chase that thing down, right?
They fired 9 people. Who are they still? Who's still left to interview? That might have been involved.
I don't know. Great question. But it doesn't seem like it's heading towards resolution. I mean, I think the most honest thing the chancellor has probably said was back on Vol calls back in the early part of spring, which is that it's not going to be resolved before football season starts. And it certainly doesn't feel like they're getting close to being resolved before football season starts. All right, quickly as we get to wrap it up here, Rob, anything of note on the hoops front? I know they've had a bunch of visitors. We got coaches on the road. If you didn't read the War Room last week, go back and reread the hoops part of the War Room last week, because that paints the picture of what Tennessee's early board looks like in, what, 23?
Can you believe it?
You know, that clears that out there. But what's the latest in hoops here?
This week, slow week, we'll have Deontay Green on campus starting on Wednesday. Power forward from – he goes to Asheville Christian, a guy that Tennessee's been in on for a while, plays for Chris Paul's AAU team, a program that new assistant Justin Ganey has recruited for a long time. So that's the biggest thing as far as recruiting. Then they'll finish up next week. They'll have B.J. Edwards and Dylan Mitchell both on campus for official visits. That'll be big. Don't think BJ will do anything after his, you know, immediately after his trip, but I think you could hear a decision coming from him sometime in the next month or so. And real quick, I know we mentioned this maybe last week, but I talked to Bobby Mays tonight and having an alumni game, July 3rd, William Blount, and not a William Blount alumni game, a University of Tennessee alumni game. And he's got Grant coming in, Josh Richardson is coming in. A lot of guys will be there. But if you're Jordan Bowden's playing, Jordan Bone, Kyle Alexander, Admiral, should be a lot of fun. If you're a Tennessee fan in East Tennessee, that will be a fun event. Saturday, July 3rd.
And when's the Rocky Top League start? And who drafted Wayne Chisholm and Melvin Goins?
Rocky Top League. Ugh.
I don't think we're gonna.
Hey, is Jackie Butler going to be here for the game?
Matt McClung, I hear, is going to play in the Rocky Top League this July, AP.
By the way, in addition to the alumni game that Bobby Mays has got going on, B.J. Edwards is going to play in a matchup game there as well, in a showcase game. So Tennessee fans get a chance and get a glimpse at him.
I mean, there's some throwback guys coming. Chisholm's, Wheezy's going to be here, Tyler Smith, J.P. Prince.
Oh yeah,
Jordan McRae. I mean, it should be a lot of fun. I don't know how much gas some of these guys have left in the tank, but there's gonna be a lot of guys there, a lot of guys that want to come back and are excited about it.
Yeah, I bet there's a few points scored in that game, for sure. Not a lot of defense, but a lot of points going to be scored in that game. So we'll have more information on that coming up as well. That's on July the 3rd, right? At William Blount.
Saturday, July the 3rd.
Out in Blount County. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Blue Water Climate Control VolQuest.com podcast on this Tuesday. Of course, Tennessee with baseball later this afternoon. We'll get you ready for that game with a little preview coming up in just a bit as well. Full coverage of everything from Omaha as Tennessee looks to stay alive in the College World Series. For Austin Price and Rob Lewis, I'm Brent Hubbs. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.